Praise the Lord. Amen. The book of Luke, amen. We're going to be coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 5. And this morning, amen, I titled this message again, Relentless, Ridiculous Faith. And I believe it's part number 4, amen. Pastor Jesse preached on it, amen. Pastor Josh preached on it. I preached on it on Friday. And tonight again, amen, or this morning again, I want to share with you, amen, on this topic of having relentless, ridiculous faith, amen. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17, we find a very, very unique story or unique situation that is taking place here, amen. And it's a very powerful, powerful story, amen. So I want to share with you, amen, out of this portion of scripture, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Are you ready?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, one day Jesus was teaching, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw there, somebody say there. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been laying on, and went home praising God. Amen. Is anybody going to go home praising God today?
Amen.
Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Are you ready to see the remarkable?
Yes.
Then bow your heads. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, show us remarkable things through your word. Lord, don't let us leave this place the same. God, I pray that you would boost our faith once again, because we are a people of faith. God, you said, God, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. Bless the reading of your word to our hearts. Remove me to the side. In Jesus' name, everybody says.
Amen.
And you may be seated. Today I want to share with you how your faith can impact others. This is a powerful portion of scripture that tells how these four men brought this paralyzed friend of theirs by faith to Jesus so that Jesus can heal him. Does anybody believe that Jesus has healing power?
Amen. That's right.
These four men brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. I want to talk about briefly about paralyzed people. Paralyzed people. What is a paralyzed person? Somebody who can't move. Stuck people.
My.
Stuck in the world. Stuck in sin. Stuck in their sickness. There's some people that are stuck in depression. There's others that are stuck in a toxic relationship. Have you ever been stuck? Remember when you were stuck? Do you remember when you were stuck?
Yeah.
And somebody brought you to Jesus.
Amen.
Huh? Somebody brought you to Jesus. That's a paralyzed person. Today we have a lot of paralyzed people.
Oh,
come on. Huh? They may not be confined to a wheelchair, even though there are some that are confined to a wheelchair. Huh? But we also have people that are not in a wheelchair or not in a bed, but yet they're paralyzed spiritually.
Come on, Pastor.
They're stuck in their sin. They're stuck in the world. They're stuck in depression. And because they're stuck there, they can't move out of it. Do you remember when you were stuck?
Yeah.
I remember when I was stuck in my addiction. I remember when I was stuck in my old way of life. I couldn't change. I felt like there was no way out. But I thank God for some people that brought me to Jesus. Huh? We see that in this situation, even though he was paralyzed, he had something good going. What he had going is that he had some friends going for him.
All right.
Huh? He had some friends. He had some people that had heard about Jesus and heard how he was a miracle worker. And they said, you know what? As they heard about Jesus, they thought about their friend that had been bedridden or had been paralyzed or had been stuck. And they said, you know what? We got to take our friend to Jesus, because if we take him to Jesus, Jesus can heal him. Jesus can set him free. Jesus can get him unstuck.
Yes.
We're talking about how your faith helps people. How your faith helps people. There are four ways your faith helps other people. The first way is that your faith brings the disabled to Jesus. Your faith brings those that are disabled to Jesus. Those that are paralyzed. Those that are stuck. It brings them to Jesus. Why? Because you've experienced Jesus getting you unstuck. You've experienced Jesus healing your life.
Yeah.
And so your faith brings disabled people to Jesus, paralyzed people to Jesus. Yeah. Many people today are spiritually disabled because the God of this world with a little g has blinded them from the light of the gospel of truth. That's why we were stuck, because we didn't see the light of truth and we were paralyzed. But once we seen the light of truth, all of a sudden that light got us off stuck. These men here, probably they're probably from the men's home.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah. Huh? They remembered their disabled friend and said, we got to get him to Jesus.
Yeah.
See, some people, you're going to have to carry them to Jesus. There are some people that you're going to have to carry them to Jesus because they're stuck. They're blind. They can't see past their sin. They can't see past their addiction. They can't see past the good time that they're having in the world. And they're stuck. And they're wondering why they're always going around in circles, and why they're always getting involved in this bad relationship and in that bad relationship and in that bad relationship. And they wonder why they're always going in and out of jail and in and out of prison because they're stuck. They wonder why all the time they find themselves in a place of depression. Why? Because they're stuck. They find themselves always going back to the alcohol. They find themselves going back to the nicotine. They find themselves going back to the weed. Why? Because they're stuck. There's some stuck people that you're going to have to bring them to Jesus. You're going to have to bring them to experience the power of God. Because while they're stuck, they can't bring themselves. But this is why it's important that the church, we have faith enough for them to bring them to Christ. This is evangelism and bringing them to church to experience the power of God.
Amen.
How many want to see their stuck family experience the power of God?
Yeah.
How many want to see their stuck friends, their stuck neighbors experience the power of God?
Yeah.
Your faith brings the disabled to Jesus. Huh? Because something inside of you says, man, my friend, he's struggling with addiction. Man, my sister, she's struggling with that. My brother's struggling with this. I know what helped him. What helped him was what helped me. Yeah. Jesus helped me. And if I can just bring them to Jesus, if I can just bring them to the house of the Lord where they can experience God. Listen, I believe that God can touch them. I believe that God is still a miracle working God. The same God that saved me, the same God that touched me, because I'm not the same man no more. I'm not the same woman no more. I am changed. See, the lie of the devil is that he lies to you and says, no, you're still the same. That's how he lies to Christians. He lies to Christians after a while that you've been saved. You're saved and you've been coming to church. All of a sudden, he says, you ain't changing. You're still the same. My friend, listen, you are a changed person. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but you ain't where you used to be, in the crack house, in the clubhouse, out there, you know, whatever house. And you now you're changed. You're not back there no more. God has done a work in your life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a new person, and the enemy will lie to you and say there's no change taking place.
No.
There's a lot of change that's taken place.
Yeah, right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Huh? There's a lot of change that's taken, and you're unstuck. And so all of a sudden what happens is you say, man, I know that my friend, my family, that this person, if I can just bring them to Jesus, right. Even if I got to carry them, come on, yeah, somebody. Yeah. Even then, if I got to push my way through, yeah. But I need to bring them to Jesus.
Yeah.
Your faith brings disabled people to Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Your faith. See, people, you know, people that you know, there's some people that say they have faith, but they ain't bring nobody to Jesus.
Wow.
Come on, somebody.
Come on now.
Listen, when you really have faith, you have not only faith for yourself, but you have faith for other people.
Right.
Yeah.
You have faith for other people. This is why you carry flyers in your back pocket. This is why you evangelize. This is why you tell your family about Jesus. This is why you're always inviting people to church, because you believe God. You believe that God can change them. If we don't invite people to church, if we don't evangelize, then we may not believe God that God can change them. But we invite them because we believe that God is still able to change the heroin addict and the meth addict and the drug addict and the pimp and the player and the hustler and the goody-goody and we believe that God is able to change the greedy person and the lust ball and the adulterer, and we believe that God can change that man or woman of God.
Amen, amen. That's right.
The second thing is that your faith that is relentless removes obstacles to bring people to Jesus.
Amen.
Ain't that what we see in here?
Yeah.
These people, these men removed obstacles to bring people to Jesus. There was an obstacle. They came to the church and the church was packed. The altar was packed, right? Now, that's what the scripture says. They came to the house where Jesus was at, and it was packed. And there was people all in the house. There was people all outside the house. There was people covering the doorway. And so when they brought their friend who was paralyzed, and they thought they were going to walk in the door, they encountered a problem. And the problem was is there were so many people that these people were getting in the way of them bringing their friend to Jesus. There was an obstacle in front of them, but they did not let that obstacle stop them. Why? Because they had a relentless faith.
Yeah.
A faith that says, you know what? It doesn't matter what's in front of me. It doesn't matter what problem lays in front of us. We're going to make it happen. We're going to take our friend to Jesus one way or another.
Right, amen.
That's what I call relentless faith.
Yes, that's right.
A faith that doesn't give up.
Amen.
Huh? A faith that doesn't give. That's relentless faith.
Amen.
Relentless faith is a faith that doesn't throw in the towel.
Right. Amen.
They don't throw in the towel when there's a good fight with the devil.
Come on, somebody.
Have you ever been in a good fight with the devil?
Yeah.
The Bible says this is a good fight. Huh? This is a good fight. Come on, somebody. Fight the good fight of faith.
Yes.
Hmm? Listen, they didn't let this obstacle change them change their mind because they had relentless faith. See, a relentless faith doesn't get discouraged or disappointed and turns back because of some bumps in the road or some roadblocks in the road. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be roadblocks.
Yeah.
There's going to be things that the devil's going to put in your way. The world is going to put in your way. There's going to be some things that are going to be in the way. But listen, are you going to make a way?
Come on.
Huh? There's always things that are going to want to get in our way. But a person with relentless faith will find a way to get their people to Jesus, will find their way to get themselves to Jesus, because they have a relentless faith.
Right, amen.
Huh? These men were going to get this disabled friend to Jesus one way or another. Huh? That's the way we need to be. We must have this mindset. One way or another, we're going to get people to Jesus. This is what we do in Victory Outreach Grand Prairie. One way or another, we're going to get people to Jesus. We're trying to figure this thing out, my friend. We're not professionals. I don't claim to know it all, my friend. I'm learning just like you're learning. But I'm going to keep on learning, my friend, until my dying day, until Jesus comes back. I'm going to be figuring out a way on how to get people to Jesus, my friend. I want to get people to Jesus. If I got to tear the roof off this place, then I got to tear the roof off this place. But listen, we're going to get people to Jesus one way or another. Listen, if we got to do drama after drama or rally after rally, if we got to change, if we got to raise up leaders, whatever we're doing, we're going to get people to Jesus one way or another. That's why we raised up life groups. Come on, somebody. That's why we raise up life group leaders. That's why we launched by it, because we're going to get people to Jesus one way or another. If it's on a Sunday or a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday, we're going to get people to Jesus one way or another.
Amen.
It's relentless faith. We do this here at Victory. We do this through our recovery homes.
Right, amen, amen.
Huh? Our recovery homes. We have a men's home and a women's home. We have a men's home for men, a women's home for women, and we don't charge. It's free.
Come on.
As long as they're willing to accept Jesus into their hearts.
Yeah.
Why? Because there's people that listen, we need to remove the obstacles. There's so many programs out there and they want all these thousands of dollars so they can get treatment. But people, our phone, the men's home and the church phone rings off the hook with people wanting to come into the home.
Yeah.
Now, if they stay, it's another subject.
Right.
But we don't put roadblocks in their path.
Right.
We don't put roadblocks in their path. We try to remove all roadblocks. We remove obstacles. Why? Because we want to bring people to Jesus.
Amen.
We do this by hitting the streets.
Come on, amen.
Huh? And always encouraging our church to bring people to church where they can experience Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Because listen, we you know what? Some people, they probably will never step into they probably won't ever step into a church. Huh? So we remove that roadblock too, and we take church to them.
Yes.
Huh? We take church to them. How many want to take church to them?
Yes.
If they ain't going to come here, then we will go out there and reach them. Why? Because we want to remove the roadblocks.
Yes, amen.
We take people, we go to the streets, and we remove that block. And all of a sudden, listen, they experience the power of God right there on the streets, and it causes them to want more. I don't know about you, but when I first tasted of the goodness of God, it caused me to want more. That's what God does. He causes you to want more. That's why you're back here Sunday after Sunday, because you want more. You're not satisfied where you're at. You have a relentless faith to say, I want more of the Word of God. I want more of prayer. I want more of the presence of God. I want more and more and more of what God has for me. Does anybody want more? We do this even in the parking lot. We do this even in our parking lot on Sunday mornings. We ask faithful members to park at our off-site parking.
Amen.
So to leave the on-site parking for newcomers.
Right,
and for new people.
Yes.
Why? Because some new people might come and see a packed parking lot as an obstacle.
Wow.
And they decide not to stay. See, we strive to remove all obstacles because we don't want to be a stumbling block. And many other ways do we remove obstacles so that people can come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Remove all obstacles.
Yeah.
As leaders, can I speak to the leaders?
Yeah.
You got to remove obstacles.
Yeah.
You got to live right.
Yeah.
Live right.
Yeah.
Don't be an obstacle. but remove obstacles.
Yes.
When leaders don't live right and they live in sin, they become an obstacle.
Yeah. Come on.
When leaders get involved in sin, they become a stumbling block.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a stumbling block.
Yes.
I want to be a building block.
Yeah.
Oh, you ain't hear me this morning.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a stumbling block, but I want to be a building block. I want to just sit on top of the stone that the builders rejected. Hello, somebody. The chief cornerstone, meaning Jesus Christ. Listen, but I want to sit on top because he's the chief cornerstone, my friend. He is the foundation, my friend. That's what good leaders are. They're a good stone. Come on, somebody. They're like the kingdom builders. Amen. They're bricks, amen, to the church. Amen. Because they're solid. They're not one foot in the world and one foot in the church. They're not up and down and up and down like a yo-yo. But they say, man, I'm committed. I'm all the way. I'm loyal. I'm down for the cause, man. I'm in it to win it, my God. I'm not going to surrender. I'm not going back in my salvation or in my church or in my ministry. But I'm going to keep going forward for Jesus. We need building blocks. We don't need to be stumbling blocks. We need to remove the obstacles, not be an obstacle. Come on, somebody. So why you got to snap out of it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Snap out of sin. Snap out of the pity party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't be a stump, because when you become an obstacle. Well, why don't I want to be saved if I'm going to be going through? Why am I going to be saved? If I'm going to be, my friend, we got to be a building block.
Yes.
Got to live right.
Amen.
Thirdly, your relentless faith covers a multitude of sins. When he's seen their faith. Huh? It says when he's seen their faith. Huh? Now, he didn't say his faith.
Mm.
He didn't say the paralyzed man's faith.
That's right.
He said when he's seen their faith. His friend's faith.
Mm.
Huh? He see, man, these guys from the home.
Come on.
These guys from Victory Outreach.
Hello.
Those ushers from BOGP.
Yeah.
Those Bible study leaders from BOGP.
Come on.
Where did they come from?
Yeah.
They're a different breed.
Yeah.
They're a different animal.
Yeah.
Everybody comes in. Everybody else comes in through the door.
Yeah.
Then people tear the roof off.
Yeah.
Then people remove obstacles.
Right.
Then people don't let nothing get in the way.
Come on.
Right.
Then people really love people.
Yeah.
Then people really care for people.
Yeah.
And it's seen by their action.
Yeah.
It's seen on how they hit the streets on Friday night.
Yeah.
On how they hit the streets on Saturday night.
Yeah.
On how they hit the streets on Thursday. It's seen how they're involved in ministry.
Yeah.
It seen how they follow up on people. It seen how they visit people. It seen how they love people and how they care for people.
Yeah.
That they're willing to remove obstacles and even tear the roof off their faith. Even when people struggle in their faith. People struggle in their faith. They don't think that sometimes they don't believe God can do it.
Mm,
we got to believe for them.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these men believed for their paralyzed friend.
Right.
Huh? Do you have enough faith to believe for your friends that are stuck?
Yeah. Oh, now,
that one that said, I ain't never coming to church with you.
Oh, now, amen.
That family that you say, man, he ain't ever going to get saved. They're the stuck ones. Huh? That mom, that dad, them ones that are rooted in Catholicism, rooted in Jehovah's Witnesses, rooted in Mormonism, Muslim, rooted in Santa Muerte. Huh? Those stuck in heroin, those stuck in meth, they're stuck. But it's your faith, Victory Outreach.
Yeah.
It's your faith, Bible study leaders. It's your faith, host. It's your faith, my God, that Jesus can say, because of their faith, their sins are forgiven. Because of their faith, their sins can be forgiven.
Huh?
See, your faith covers a multitude of sins. When you hit the streets. When you evangelize, it covers your sins too, my friend. Huh? I talk about the overflow on Friday, right? Huh? The overflow. It's not enough just to cover you. Huh? But you got others too. Huh? See, and fourthly, the way your relentless faith makes an impact in other people's lives is that your faith unlocks the power of God for you and others. Your faith unlocks the power of God for you and others. Let me tell you something. The power is not in your faith. The power is not invested in your faith. Huh? What does it say? It says in the verse. Let's see. Verse. It says this, look. In verse number 17. It says, and from Judea and Jerusalem, it says, and the power of the Lord. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Huh? And the power of the Lord was with Jesus. Not with the friends. It was with Jesus. I'm not here saying that it's your faith. No, it's not your faith. It's the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
But your faith unlocks God's power.
Ooh, that's good. Come on now.
Your faith unlocks God's power. Your faith is the key to unlocking the power of God to heal people's lives.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh? The power's there. It's available. But it's your faith that will unlock that power.
Right.
Because the power is not invested in your faith, but in God.
Amen.
The scripture clearly says that the power of the Lord was present on Jesus to heal the sick. And that's what happened. This man was forgiven and healed. Why? Because of his friend's faith. Your faith is not just for you, but for those around you.
Amen.
So keep bringing others to Jesus, even in the midst of your need, even in the midst of your trial. Why? Because you know that you will reap what you sow. And if you just keep on having faith for other people, and as you bring them, you unlock the power of God, and God forgives them, and God heals them. Listen, one day God is going to touch your life. He's gonna heal your body. He's going to bring some deliverance upon your life. Because of your relentless faith.
Good.
Your faith impacts other people.
Yes.
Right.
This is why you got to take your faith serious.
That's right.
Yeah. This is why you got to keep your faith strong. This is why the enemy always attacks your faith.
Oh,
hmm? Because he understands, the enemy understands that it's your faith that unlocks the power of God. So the enemy's always attacking your faith. He's always coming after your faith with doubt. He's always coming after your faith with different things that come your way. And you got to keep your faith strong.
Yeah.
You got to keep your faith strong in God.
Yes.
How do you show your relentless faith? You got to bring people to experience Jesus. One way is you got to bring people to experience Jesus. How do you show your relentless faith? Keep on bringing people to experience Jesus. I want the piano player to come up. How do you show your relentless faith? Don't be an obstacle, but remove obstacles. Don't be an obstacle, but remove obstacles. Leaders, show your faith by removing obstacles. Remove obstacles. When people give excuses, try to figure out how you're going to remove that excuse.
Good, good.
Just don't live with the excuse.
Wow, good,
just don't live with the excuse. Huh? I can imagine how it went. I can imagine how they went. And these friends, they came to their friend and they say, hey, you know, Jesus is in town.
Yeah.
Huh? And said, man, we're gonna we ain't even gonna ask you. They just picked them up. Hey, you grab that side, homie. I got this side. You got his hands. You know, I got his feet. You pick up the mat and let's go. They didn't even ask him. He was probably like, wait, where are you taking me? He says, just flow, brother. Huh? And they brought this man to Jesus. They brought him to the house. And then when they got to the house, he probably looked at the house and he seen it packed. He says, see, I told you it's packed. See, man, you know, I knew it was going to happen. Just take me back where you got me from. They said, no. We brought you this far not to take you in.
Amen.
We've come too far not to go all the way. This is why you can't give up. You've come too far not to go all the way.
Come on now.
I've come too far not to go all the way.
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, you just gotta keep on pushing. And they begin to remove the obstacles. All these obstacles that were in the way. What are the obstacles that are in your way?
Come on now.
Think about it right now. There's some obstacles in your way from serving God. There's some obstacles. It could be a toxic relationship. It could be a case that you caught. It could be a struggle that you have that's getting in your way. Get rid of the excuse. Figure out a way how to make it happen. Relentless faith, that's what relentless faith does.
Yes, yes, yes.
Relentless faith is satisfied with the obstacle. Relentless faith says, man, I'm going to remove this obstacle. I'm going to remove this obstacle out of my life, but I'm also going to remove it out of my friend's life, out of my family's life. The enemy's trying to put an obstacle in front of me and my family, but man, I'm going to make a way to remove that obstacle. I'm going to remove that obstacle because I'm called not to be a stumbling block, but a building block. That's how you show your relentless faith. And lastly, you show your relentless faith by having faith for people. By having faith for people. Once you bring them to Jesus, you got to believe that Jesus can heal them.
Yes.
Listen, these men, they brought this guy to Jesus because they believed that Jesus can heal them. They believed it. They said, man, they probably pictured him getting up and walking, getting up and running and praising God. You got to have faith for people. You got to have vision for people. When you see them, you don't see them as a drug addict no more. You don't see them out there hooked no more. You don't see them as a gang member. You don't see them as a thug no more. You don't see them high no more. You don't see them with a messed up marriage no more. You don't see them involved in the stuff they were involved with. Now you begin to see them through eyes of faith. You see them as an usher in the house of God. You see them as a singer in the house of God. You see them as a worship leader. You see them preaching the gospel. You see them being a good husband and a good wife. You begin to see with eyes of faith. You got to see these things with eyes of faith. You got to believe it in your heart. You got to get it down in your spirit. And let me tell you something. The obstacles that come your way are sometimes when they begin to act up, or sometimes when you don't see it take place. It's those times where you got to up your level of faith. And no matter what you see with the physical eyes, you don't look with the physical eyes, but you look with your spiritual eyes. You look with the eyes of your heart and say, I know they messed up, but it's not the end. God can still work on their life. There's still hope. They can still change. It's a relentless faith. Not to give up on people. We don't give up on people. We don't give up on people in Victory Outreach.
Huh?
We still pray. We still believe God. We still keep our doors open. Huh? We still deal with them. We still disciple them. Huh? We still speak words into their life. Huh? Because we have faith in them. We have faith in them. Huh? We have faith enough to tell people the truth. Huh? To give people the truth, not a lie. Because a lie is not going to help people. Sugarcoating is not going to help people. The truth is going to help them. It's the truth that's going to help them. Having relentless faith. Have faith for people. Don't give up believing for people. Have this attitude, this mindset that these men had to bring their friend to Jesus. Who do you got to bring to Jesus? Who do you got? Is there somebody at work that you're working with? That you're ministering to? Is it a family? It can be a close relative. Have faith for them. Keep praying for them. Bring them. Bring them. Bring them, just like these men, these friends did. This man was paralyzed, he was stuck, but they found a way to bring him. Sometimes you gotta find a way to bring people. Just bring them to the foot of the God will do the rest. Jesus will do the rest. Huh? Then Jesus, he just do your part. Just do your part, man. Jesus will do the rest. Just do your part and bring them and get them to the house of God. Get them to life group on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday. Get them to a Friday night service. Come on, somebody. Just get them to the house. Get them to the men's home. Come on. Get them to the women's home, my God. Just get them there, my God. Jesus will do the rest. Not pastor, not the leader, because the power is not in us. The power is invested in God. But I thank God that we got a little God inside of us. I thank God that God dwells inside of us. And he says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a mighty working power that is at work inside of the church. There's a mighty work of power. The power is inside us, the body of Christ. This is why when we gather on a Sunday morning, you can feel the power of God begin to stir, because there's a lot of power in this room, because it's just not my power, but it's the God that's inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit that's inside of us that we can combine and all of a sudden believe God. We combine our faith. We combine our power, our faith that is in God, and all of a sudden people come and they feel the presence and the power and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I didn't feel this in the world. I didn't feel it in the club. I didn't feel it in the dope house, but I felt it around God's people. A relentless faith. And all of a sudden we see God change their life. I'm a changed man. You're a changed man. Because of relentless people that have relentless faith. To keep on preaching, keep on worshiping, keep on laying on hands, keep on believing God for miracles. And people's lives are changed one by one. One by one, people's lives are changed. Sometimes you don't know what's taking place in a person's life. But then all of a sudden you see that metamorphosis. All of a sudden we're like the Transformers. Come on, somebody. We begin to transform. We begin to transform into a mighty army for God. You know, we have to have faith for our gang. We have to have faith for our young people. We have to have faith for the teenagers. We have to have faith. Keep on bringing them to Sunday night gang. You gotta have faith, man. You gotta have faith. Keep on bringing them. Bring your young people to gang, man. Bring them to the children's ministry. Don't let the devil lie to you that nothing's happening. You just walk by faith. Come on, somebody. Walk by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody. You just keep on bringing them to Jesus, because something is happening, my friend. A miracle's taking place, my friend. You just keep on showing up too. You just keep on showing up as a man of God, as a woman of God. Even though you're fighting with your wife and you're fighting with your spouse and you're fighting with yourself, you keep on showing up. You don't know how many times I fight. Come on, somebody. We fight. Come on, somebody. But we keep on showing up, because every time we show up, something is happening inside of us. Our faith is going to new levels, from glory to glory to glory. I've been doing this for